Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you doing?
Well, we're doing well. A lot of excitement in the news today. A great program set for us. We've got Yvette here on for an exciting segment. News coming from the mayor's race in Albuquerque. Then a surprise that I think will offend everyone. The words harmful language alert has been added to documents that we'll talk about, those documents in the National Archives. And so stay tuned because it's going to be a great show today.
We have a radio station owner and talk show host who's a Republican in Albuquerque who is running for mayor. Now, I have no aspirations to run for office, but it is interesting to see the power of radio, and he is using his radio station in Albuquerque to help him and also to raise money for his campaign. He's not taking public financing. So tell us about Eddie Aragon.
Yes, the Democrats filed to keep him off the ballot, which tells you they're concerned about him. And he simply responded that he was well within the law and within his rights. The courts agreed with him. And so it was announced late last week that he is going to be on the ballot for the mayor's race in Albuquerque. So there is a Republican, a conservative Republican. They claim that these races are nonpartisan, but the truth is they're very partisan. And so Republicans always are encouraged to vote for Republicans. And we'll be doing the same thing here with Eddie Aragon as the GOP nominee for mayor of Albuquerque.
I understand Virgin Galactic has been grounded and they were using our spaceport here in New Mexico. What happened there?
Well, it looks like that the FAA has grounded them indefinitely because they flew out of the controlled airspace that along the track that the FAA had cleared them on. There appeared to be some lag time in the reporting of that violation. So that appears to be maybe something the FAA is having serious discussions with Virgin Galactic on also. I know we were all excited when they made their trip into space, but we'll see where this plays out. There are three billionaires who are all vying to be the first to really establish space travel. So Virgin Galactic, of course, working out of New Mexico, but you've got Elon Musk and you have Jeff Bezos. Both are working in different states. So we're pulling for the home team, but right now there's a definite wrinkle in the fabric.
Now, you mentioned at the top of the show the term harmful language has been added. What has it been added to and why?
Well, in our National Archives, the Biden administration has now placed a language alert, a harmful language alert, at the top of two of our main founding documents, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Are you kidding me? These both speak to the aspirations for freedom, for the humanity. We have been the destination for generations of people coming here looking for freedom, looking for opportunity. And now then, with the political correctness, with the woke generation in the White House, we're finding that they're saying that the language in those documents are offensive and harmful for people to read them. It just continues to point out the difference between Democrats and Republicans.
California, state of California, having a gubernatorial recall for a lot of the same reasons that some folks wanted to recall our governor. They didn't like being shut down. They didn't like businesses being closed without any particular reason. There was no proof that they ever had COVID-19 in the business, but they were shut down anyway. Governor Gavin Newsom may actually be recalled. The Republicans have a very strong candidate, another radio host, Larry Elder. What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, it's going to be a very close election. The Democrats are pulling out all the stops. They're claiming that it's a question of abortion. They're claiming that it's a question of your right to choose. It's a question of this. It's a question of that. No, it's actually just a question whether or not Gavin Newsom is even remotely qualified to serve as governor. In the interviews, it shows that he absolutely knows almost nothing. He's a pretty boy. That's about it. And so that recall is going very strongly in California. It's important to note that there are two votes. One, you vote whether or not to recall, and then you also vote if you do recall, who would you vote for? There are only Republicans to vote for, so if he is recalled, then a Republican will become governor of California just right now. So that first vote has to be 50% plus one have to vote to recall. And then whichever Republican, and I think it's going to be Larry Elder. He's popular. He's a black conservative from California. Like you said, been on the talk show circuit for years, and people know him well. They know his values. And I think that's what Californians are looking for. The fact that California was shut down so egregiously has really stirred the pot against Gavin Newsom. I had a friend just recently visit there, said it is no masks anywhere, freedom everywhere. People are walking around the streets ignoring the mandates coming from Gavin Newsom. I suspect every one of those people ignoring his mandates are going to vote against him. So it's an amazing story coming out of California right now that they are set to recall a governor.
And they've done it before. I grew up there. It wouldn't be the first time they've recalled a governor in California.
That's amazing. Now, people wonder, how come we don't recall the governor in New Mexico? Well, the Democrats have been in charge of this state for 90 years, and somewhere along the track, they simply made it against the law to recall anybody above the city level. So you can recall a mayor, you can recall city officials, but you can't recall county officials or state representatives or state senators or any of the statewide elected officers, and you can't recall the governor. They give themselves a little job protection there. When you have 90 years being in control of the entire government, then you have the ability to sneak things into law that probably shouldn't be there.
President Biden came out with his vaccination mandate. He's asking governors to follow suit. Your thoughts on us having to get vaccinated or lose our jobs?
Yeah, when you say that he suggested that governors follow suit, they must have misunderstood. The Republican governors must have said he said to file suits. And so you've got a lot of lawsuits that are coming against the Biden administration over these reaches into the private domain. But he issued a mandate saying that if you got 100 employees or more, you have to do this. If you're working for major corporations, you have to have your vaccinations. It just flies in the face of our freedoms. People have the right to choose to vaccinate, to not vaccinate. My wife and I chose to get vaccinations, but we certainly don't find fault with those who choose not to. Now, what's going to happen is that New Mexico is following such closely behind these national mandates. Our governor has really nationalized her service. She doesn't listen to the people of New Mexico. She listens to the national Democrats and then follows in their tracks. And so what's going to happen is we are already losing healthcare professionals, but we're going to even lose more because a lot of them are refusing to take the vaccinations. They claim that they've been working in a very dangerous situation for this year, year and a half, and that they know what's best for their lives, that the governor and the government doesn't know what's best for their lives. So I believe that we're going to lose a lot of healthcare professionals. And if there's one area that we should not and cannot afford to lose, it's healthcare professionals in New Mexico. We're already at a deficit. There's not enough healthcare workers to go around. And so that's looming large right now for New Mexico.
And to clarify, and you did say it just now, but the Democrats accuse you and the Republican Party of being opposed to keeping New Mexicans safe, is how they say it, that you haven't come out and said we should get vaccinated. You just said you did, and your wife did. You're not saying to people, don't go out and get vaccinated. You're saying go out if you feel that's what you want to do for you. And I think that could sway a lot of elections in 2022.
Yeah, I think that distinction between freedom and the government overreach, government tyranny, I think that's exactly what people are going to focus on. There are people who feel like that everybody should be vaccinated, or one politician had suggested that we carry all Republicans that don't get vaccinated over to Afghanistan and dump them off there. So we know what they believe, but we believe in freedom of choice. And so we'll still be on that track while they're suggesting that people should be fired from their jobs.
They sure aren't worried about vaccinating the people coming over the southern border illegally, but they sure come after American citizens for that, don't they?
Yeah, if the governor, if the president were really worried about the COVID variant, they would shut down the southern border, but they're not going to do that. They don't vaccinate everybody that comes through. They don't even know who comes through. They release them into the public if they get them. Many of them are never even detained, and so there's no way for them to know who they are or to test them for COVID or to vaccinate them. So again, you just get the sense that this is all some political shuffle that's going on instead of concern about the health, because they're showing their lack of concern on the southern border.
Congresswoman Yvette Harrell from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico went to Holloman Air Force Base to learn how the Afghan refugees were being vetted. We'll talk to her and find out in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Last week, I spoke with Congresswoman Yvette Harrell about her trip to Holloman Air Force Base to see how the vetting of Afghan refugees was going. You have just toured Holloman Air Force Base to see how our Afghan refugees have or have not been vetted. So what did you find out?
Well, I tell you, I did get to go out to Holloman Air Force Base. And the first thing I want to say is I just want to tip my hat and share with everybody how much I appreciate our military, the ability in which they were able to erect these housing projects that would house 5,000 people on Holloman, 14,000 people in Doniana County as part of Fort Bliss. It's incredible, and it was really Herculean. So I am so grateful for the armed services and the military men and women that are making those missions, those local missions happen. However, I did leave Holloman Air Force Base with still unanswered questions. Primarily, my greatest concern is the vetting process. And I said this on TV the other day, and I've said it over and over several times, but our number one priority should be getting every American home to safety out of Afghanistan. Our number one priority should be bringing every American home. Our number two priority should be ensuring the safety of every American on American soil. And what's concerning to me is we know from the briefings that we've set in by the DOH and State Department's own admission, the background checks they've done are not without flaw. And here's the thing. You can only do background checks with the information available to you. So unless we're having access to the Pakistan government, their database, the one in Afghanistan, which we know has already been ruined, that database, we're not getting a full picture of a criminal activity that may be in someone's background. And I believe we owe it to the American people to ensure that, number one, they will be safe at home and we will do our jobs on the front end and not on the back end like the State Department is saying. You know, they admit it was rushed. We got a lot of people in the country, but we'll catch up on background checks on the back end. And I just think that's not a safe place for Americans to be.
I'd like to get your response to this. Representative Veronica Escobar had this to say in an interview about vetting the Afghan refugees. Let's listen.
The folks that were put on those planes had been vetted before they got on the planes because they worked in collaboration with the American government. So they had to be vetted in order to work with the government. And they were vetted again before they got on the plane.
So she makes it sound like we really don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, which unfortunately she obviously doesn't pay attention to the reports that come out in Congress and the briefings. This is exactly why we need to be doing and ensuring that the vetting process is done. We do know that, yes, we owe it to our interpreters and others that help the coalition work closely with the U.S. government and with our men and women in service. However, the vetting process has not worked, and here's why. Just last week, an Afghan that was on one of the planes that came to Ramstein Air Force Base was caught with explosives in his backpack while boarding a plane to America. That's a terrorist act to me. That warrants some type of background check. 2 weeks ago, an Afghanistan person was here several years ago, raped somebody in Idaho, was deported. He also got on the plane and was caught in Dulles. And now we're sitting here without really a way to deport him because of, number one, time restraints and legalities, but number two, just because of the happenings in Afghanistan, who would we deport him to? But here's the deal. That's true. A lot of people did work for the American government. They did go through background checks. But when you see people in an evacuation situation, like we saw on TV, the pictures, 120,000 people in such a short amount of time, and we know only about 5,000 Americans were part of that evacuation, we can't know with certainty who got on those planes. So it's smart for us to do it on the front end hold these Afghans in these midway countries, meaning Doha or Ramstein, some of the other nations. Let's take our time and do a correct background check and ensure that there's no criminal activity. Then bring them into the United States, number one, where Americans can feel safer and where the Afghans will be treated differently. People will know then that these are our friends, these are our allies, but right now there's so much misinformation and distrust. We owe it to not only the American people, but the Afghans. But we are setting ourselves up for a problem if we don't take our time and do it right on the front end of bringing people here. Why are we flying 120,000 Afghans into America, albeit we do owe gratitude and safety and help to those who helped us? But why aren't we doing something to put the safety of the American people first, like a very robust vetting process and holding these people up till we bring them to America so that we can be ensured that they're all good people? And we're just not putting the Americans first. We're not valuing our American livelihoods first. And that's what's frustrating for me as a U.S. rep. But it's also frustrating for the people of New Mexico and the people of America.
And did you see Senator Ted Cruz was down at Fort Bliss, and apparently the Afghan refugees are allowed to leave and go into El Paso whenever they want to. One of them even ordered an Uber and took a car into town. So what kind of vetting process is going on there if they can just leave?
Yeah, and that's right. When I was at Holloman Air Force Base, they actually said they cannot hold the Afghans there. They can only encourage them to stay on base. Now, the caveat is supposed to be if they leave, they can't come back. However, if somebody leaves the base and they can't come back, then we need to be thinking about who's leaving the base and why. And so, again, more questions than answers, and we're just not getting the answers that we deserve. And I actually have been invited to go and visit Fort Bliss, and I believe I'll be doing that in the next number of days. And when I do, I'll be sure to let you know so we can do an update there and tell you what the difference is between the 5,000 people at Holloman and the 14,000 at Fort Bliss.
Well, I sure appreciate you keeping me and our listeners up to date on what's going on here, because this is really serious stuff. This is not happening thousands of miles away. This is happening in New Mexico. And if terrorists are slipping through, Americans could die.
That's right. And the thing of it is, and this is why I've been such an advocate voice for it, New Mexico's 2nd Congressional District will have 20,000 Afghan refugees just in this district. So I believe every New Mexican, and certainly those in the 2nd Congressional, have every right to know what's going on. They deserve the transparency. They deserve answers to the tough questions like this vetting process. They're trying to do a vetting process on these Afghans that typically takes about 14 months. They're trying to do it in about 2 to 3 weeks. And this will give them complete citizenship status. Now, here's the question. We have people down at the southern border who've been trying to come into our nation for 14 years and doing it legally. And they've not been able to get through a vetting process. And we're supposed to believe that this government, who has failed us on every level, is going to do a solid, very robust and extensive background check to give legal status to 100,000 people in just a couple of weeks. I mean, it makes no sense at all. So these are the things I want to keep asking about, and these are the things I'll definitely keep reporting to you so we can keep New Mexico informed on what's going on.
I'm talking with Yvette Harrell, our United States representative in Congress for District 2 in New Mexico. And if folks came in the middle of this interview or they want to find out more, I'm assuming you're posting all this information on your website as well.
We are. Yeah, we're doing a lot of posts on the website, and we're keeping people up to speed. And the state party's done a phenomenal job of getting our press releases out so we can keep everybody informed as to what's happening. So I'll definitely be checking back with you so that we can keep everybody informed as to what's happening as all this unfolds.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Yvette. Thank you so much for calling in. When we return, I will have conversations with Steve Pierce about what happens in Afghanistan now on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, the president set the date of August 31st to have us out of Afghanistan. And so now we've got people left there that are now hostages. He's letting the Taliban set the rules. So now we have to figure out how we're going to get our people out and the people who have helped us after the deal with the Taliban to let us out is over. What do you see happening going forward?
There are three or four private efforts to get Americans out and loyal Afghanis out, the people who helped us as translators. And satellite pictures have showed that during this last week, there were at least three charter flights sitting there waiting to take off. And it's extremely offensive to know that it was not the Taliban who was keeping those planes from taking off. It was the U.S. government at the direction of Joe Biden, which was keeping those planes from taking off. So people putting up their private money to help get Americans and loyal Afghans out, and the U.S. government is not allowing it. That just flies in the face of what all of us think is right, but it feeds the suspicion that all of this was part of an overall plan by the president to realign the geopolitical makeup of the world, to arm the Taliban, to arm the dissidents. Right now, because the Taliban has released all of those prisoners that the U.S. had gathered over 20 years, the U.S. painstakingly going through the terrorist camps, the ISIS followers, and arresting the most dangerous of those, and thousands of them now have been released and they're back on the streets. Even Obama officials are saying that they think things are going to get very bad, that it's going to be very unstable, that these people who have been released are going to get back in as combatants and they're going to do damage to the world. And they've got the armament now to do it. They've got Black Hawk helicopters. They've got M50 machine guns. They've got assault weapons. You've got vehicles. Thousands of vehicles were left, hundreds of thousands of small arms. So all of these weapons will be used around the world, millions of rounds of ammunition. So the Biden administration has fed the terrorist group for a long time. Then don't forget those pallets of cash. On top of everything else, now the Biden administration is not letting private groups go in and get Americans out. It's offensive.
We are seeing the cost of food rising significantly. But one thing I never thought I'd see in the United States of America was a food shortage. Why is this happening?
Yeah, you're seeing food shortages and the price of food that you can get are skyrocketing, but it's a combination of things. First of all, global droughts, and we've seen those in the western U.S., the volatile weather. Labor shortages are affecting every country. The supply chain disruptions, those have contributed. The chip shortages. One of the dairies said the other day they couldn't do certain processing because they couldn't get chips for their technology. And so we continue to see these supply chain problems around the world. In the U.S., the government under Joe Biden has given the people such large unemployment checks that literally workers will not show up for work. So the price of beef is escalating, not because we have a shortage of beef. The price of beef is escalating because there are no workers to process that beef. So grocery stores, restaurants, and other institutions that use food are really having trouble finding it. And if they're having trouble finding it, we as individuals are going to have trouble finding it. So you're going to have more and more people stocking up their own supply of food, and it's because of government policies that all of these things are occurring.
So a lot of these policies are caused by decisions that humans in our government make.
The weather is not man-made, but the rest of it is man-made and could be cured, but it's going to require different policies than what Joe Biden is familiar with. He is only familiar with the far left and all of his advisors. He doesn't have business people as advisors. He's got community organizers. He's got political hacks who have worked for decades in Washington, and they're extremists, they're Marxists, they're socialists, and he's got them in his inner group, and they're the ones making the policy. Well, Derek, completely off the political end, but in the story of human nature, the U.S. Open tennis tournament for women is playing out as we're recording. The results will be known next week, but it's entirely appropriate that we would record this spot without knowing. But Leyla Fernandez and Emma Raducanu, both teenagers, are facing off. First time teens have faced off in decades. And so the entire world is excited. Emma is from Britain and Layla is from Canada. Emma actually born in Canada, but their parents moved her to Britain when she was 2 years old. Now, the amazing story is that neither one of these players were ranked coming into this weekend. Emma was 150th. She couldn't even qualify without going through a qualifying round. So she made her way through that and then got into the Open and had to work her way through all the brackets. Layla ranked about number 70 or 75. Likewise, she had to fight her way through against all odds. But they're meeting in the final, and I think it's suitable that the world would take note. You know, we've been so down from the whole COVID. We've seen businesses close. We've seen lives destroyed. And to see these two young, promising stars of the future get to go to center stage, it's just an upbeat story, and we wanted to close with that today. So thank you very much, and I appreciate all of you listening.
Thank you, Steve. I've been talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. If you'd like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is by going to www.newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. Please check these things out for yourself. There are people out there who do not want you to find out what the Republican Party is really all about, so they'll make things up to scare you away. If you would like to talk to someone in person, call Republican Party of New Mexico headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.